we think about life, there's probably a million things that could get us frustrated. But one of the things I've discovered is that we could take any frustration that we have, whether it's a little frustration, right? Getting behind somebody in the fast lane that's not going as fast as we want, or our kids or whatever. And you know what? We can trace any frustration back to one thing. You ready? An unmet expectation. An unmet expectation. We were expecting one thing, but we got another. Whenever that happens, we have the tendency to like, we get frustrated. And I like what those people said, but think about it. You know, if you're in the fast lane, people are going slow and you start feeling frustrated inside. Why? What's my expectation? My expectation is when people are in the fast lane, they're gonna know what to do with their right foot. They're gonna press down on that gas pedal and go fast. Because you're in the fast lane. Don't back off. No, go, right? That's my expectation. I love what those people said about, you know, like the customers, man, customers make me, you know, impatient customers frustrate me. Why? Because if you're in a customer service business, your expectation is those people are going to be patient and kind, have all the time in the world to wait for you, right? Right? I mean, that's our expectation. How about the ones with the kids? The guy that's like, man, my daughter, when she's screaming, it just pierces my ears, it pierces my head. Because our expectation is that our little children would be quiet and well-behaved at all times, right? Right? I mean, that's our expectation. And so when they're not, it's frustrating or obedient. Man, we expect that our kids are going to be obedient all the time. Gabriels, I'm looking at you, right? All the time. Just can be so obedient. When our kids aren't, we get frustrated. Because we have an expectation that's going unmet. I read yesterday, somebody posted online, said, my kid can find 300 Easter eggs spread out over an entire football field in 3 minutes. But it takes them a week to pick up the toys that are in their little 10 by 10 room. You know what I'm saying? We have an expectation of all kinds of things, and whenever we're expecting one thing but we get another, guess what? Frustrations tend to pop up in our lives. And you know what? We have expectations about God as well. We have expectations about what God should be like. And if you are honest, probably I have the same issues that you do, is that when we have an expectation of God and that God is not behaving correctly, the way that we think that God should be behaving, that God is somehow acting differently than what we would expect, guess what? We get frustrated at God. We do. Sometimes we even get really angry at God. Something goes on in our life and we're going, God, where were you? My expectation, God, is that you would have had that covered. That we wouldn't have had to have gone through that as a family, or that I wouldn't have been left alone in this situation, or that my body wouldn't be dealing with the sickness that I'm dealing with. All of those kind of conversations go through our mind because we have an expectation of what God should be like. And when those expectations go unmet, we can get frustrated, we can get angry. Can I tell you that Easter and the Easter story gives us a very unique opportunity to actually examine what some of our expectations of God and even Jesus himself are all about. I want you to go back with me to the days just before Easter. See, there would be no Easter if there wasn't a Good Friday. There would be no resurrection from the dead if Jesus first didn't get dead, right? Right into the grave, right from the cross to the grave. There would be no Easter without his death. Just this Friday, 2 days ago, Man, we had the honor at Santa Maria Foursquare of hosting the entire city for a Good Friday service. This room was packed out with people that were worshiping Jesus and thanking him for that gift of going to the cross for us and taking our sin for us. It was so beautiful. Man, we had just a number of pastors up here sharing together. It was amazing. But I want you to think about that first Good Friday. Can you imagine how devastated those followers of Jesus would have been when all of a sudden they're hearing things that did not make sense? They did not match their expectation. Because they're hearing words come out of the authorities that like are condemning Jesus to death. Well, wait a second. Jesus, you've been telling us that you're God. And now we're watching and listening as all these scenarios that are happening that just don't even make sense to us. This is not what we expected. And then the guards take Jesus and they strip his clothes off of him and they take a crown of thorns and they smash it on his head and begin to spit at him and ridicule him and beat him and whip him till he is raw and bloody. And can you imagine what's going through the minds of the disciples that are going, well, this is way not what we expected. This does not fit with our framework of reality. This should not be happening because God would never allow this to happen to himself, right? Whoa. They were dealing not just with frustration, but with crazy brokenness and starting to doubt what was going on. Listen, then they take Jesus, make him carry his own cross to the place of crucifixion. And then his disciples are watching, some from a distance, some up close, and they're watching as his hands are stretched out onto the wood and big spikes are literally driven right through his hands and right through his feet. And he's propped up in this cross and they watch him bleeding. They watch him literally suffocating as the life is sucked right out of him, and they're going, no, this cannot be happening because this does not fit with our picture of reality. Because listen, they, like us, would have this expectation. Gods do not die. Gods do not die. I mean, the Wolverine might die, but gods do not die. Gods do not die. Not real ones. Not real gods. Gods do not die. Now, false gods, well, okay, they would die. Because they're like mortal like we are. Okay, so a false god would die. But Jesus, you claimed you were the true God. And our expectation is that gods don't die. Oh, can you imagine just the brokenness, the dejection, the doubt that would begin to surface? I mean, this just goes beyond just a regular level of frustration. This goes to a whole nother level of brokenness that they would be experiencing because their expectations were shattered in ways that they could not explain. But I'll tell you something, anytime that our expectations go unmet and we feel ourselves beginning to be frustrated, it's always really wise to go back, to rewind the tape, and to try to figure out, what was my expectation about this? What was my expectation? You know, my expectation about my children, should they be quiet? Should I have quiet children? Let's see. Was I a quiet child? Yeah, no. Okay, so maybe that should like shape my expectation. Yeah, I guess my kids aren't going to be quiet either, right? My children are not always obedient. That's frustrating. What's my expectation? That they're always obedient? Let me examine that for a minute. Was I obedient as a child? No, I was not. Were you obedient as a child? Sometimes, yeah. So maybe we should have a little grace for our kids, huh? Because when we examine our expectations, sometimes we realize that my expectation did not match up with reality. Man, I want all my customers to be patient. And we start to examine our expectation and we realize, I'm not always patient when I'm a customer. Maybe I should have more grace for those people coming in with crazy busy days. Life is all going nuts for them, and maybe they're going to be a little impatient when they come into my space. We should always examine our expectations. Now, the disciples had an opportunity to do that as well. They kind of missed a beat on this because they literally were just devastated. I mean, it says, if you read in the Gospels, right thereafter Jesus was crucified, I mean, they were in depression. They were grieving. They were mourning. It says they were weeping. They should have examined their expectations. Because if they had, they might have remembered what Jesus had told them. Because Jesus had really, really worked hard to help shape their reality and to understand, hey, guys, guess what? God's gonna die. And it's okay. This is part of my plan. He had told them this. In fact, we see in God's word, if you read through the Gospels, you're gonna find that on at least three different occasions, Jesus told them, it's gonna be this way, guys, it's okay. But their expectations, instead of being shaped by what Jesus had said, their expectations were shaped on their own life experience and now on their worst fears. Let me say that again. Instead of their expectations being based on what Jesus had told them, their expectations were based on their own life experiences and their deepest, darkest fears. That's what ended up happening. Oh, if they'd only remembered what Jesus had said, because here's just one example of a time that Jesus talked to his disciples before, long before he ever went to the cross. It's found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, in verse 31, it says this, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed. But 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. Oh my gosh, if they would only have remembered that that should have been their expectation, that their reality, based on their own life experience, would be really different. Because instead of believing God can't die, they would have said, oh, Jesus told us that he was going to die. Would have saved him a lot of grief. And instead of mourning and weeping, they could have been planning the biggest party the world had ever seen. Right? Okay. All right, guys. Huddle up. Right? Jesus is now in the grave. Yes. This is so exciting. Okay, call the high school band, man. Get them here Sunday morning, okay? Get them here Sunday morning, because today is Friday, it's day one, okay? And then Saturday morning, they wake up, okay, what else should we do? Hey, call the reporter from the Jerusalem Times, they've got to get here tomorrow morning, because on Sunday, it's the third day. Man, they would have balloons and streamers and like planes flying over and all this crazy stuff, because they would have remembered this is reality, because God said this is the way it is. You can expect it. But they didn't. And so they ended up being depressed and dejected and filled with doubt. Instead, because they didn't remember what God had said. And not only was their expectation that gods don't die, here was another expectation they had. Dead people stay dead. If you die, yeah, you stay dead. It's like, I have lived long enough to know a couple of things about how this world works. And here's what I can tell you. Dead people stay dead. Are you with me on that? Listen, we would have the same expectation. Dead people stay dead. Except Jesus said it was going to be different. But instead of remembering that, here's what happened. Man, their expectations were based on their life experience and their deepest fears. That's what their expectations were. And so they got really frustrated and really hurt and broken through here. But Easter is this reminder that God loves to shatter our expectations in the most beautiful ways. In the most beautiful ways. I want to read just a portion of this Easter story. It's from the gospel writer. His name was Luke. He's one of the followers of Jesus. And in chapter 24 of the gospel of Luke, we get this glimpse into that first Easter. It says this, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Which women were these? If you read back a few verses, you find that there was some women who kind of followed behind to see where they buried Jesus. And then when the Sabbath was over, they went and they got these spices. And so now it's the morning of the third day. And they've gone to the tomb. But when they get there, it says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. So they were shocked. What's going on here? While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Now, right there, I was going to shake up some expectations about what you were going to find in an empty tomb. Boom, two lightning dudes, right? Sorry, you can laugh. Sorry, you're a little quiet this morning. Two lightning dudes were like, boom, right there in the tomb, shaking up some expectations. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Yeah. And look at this next word that the angels say to these women. Remember. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then it says, then they remembered his words. See, all of a sudden, they went from this reality that had been shaped by their life expectations, their life experience, sorry. You know, gods don't die, and the dead people always, always stay dead. That was their reality. All of a sudden, they remembered, oh, Jesus had told us to have a different expectation, that there was a different reality going on here. They remembered his words. And all this frustration and pain and doubt that we'd been experiencing over these last days, man, that wasn't really helpful, was it? Because Jesus told us this is the way it would be. Our reality wasn't in line with God's reality. They remembered, and then they recognized that their expectations had been shattered so beautifully, because Jesus is alive. Now, if they would have really thought about Jesus and their expectations, this would not have been entirely surprising, because Jesus, from day one, was an expectation breaker. He really was. What do you think about it? Because I think most people would have an expectation that gods are not born in barns. No. What, were you born in a barn? Jesus is like, well, yes, I was. But listen, in our thinking, in our expectation, our reality, no, God is like holy and is clean and is separate from all kind of the dirtiness that we end up living in. You know, the stink of animals and you know, straw poking you in the wrong places and all that kind of stuff. God, no. That's not how God would show up. See, God would not show up that way. God would show up like, you know, all grown up and, you know, all together and, you know, have his little entourage, his posse around him, you know, dudes with swords and gold and crowns and all, you know, the lightning guys, right? The lightning guys would be boom right there. That's how God would show up. But see, from day one, Jesus' life tells us a different story. Shattering expectations. Shattering them. Because Jesus did not come as this ruler king. He came as a humble servant. Came lowly in humility to us. And then as we go on, there's so many different things that we could talk about how Jesus shattered expectations. He shattered gender barriers. Read John chapter 4 sometime of how Jesus went to this woman who was like of a different ethnic group. And first of all, man, Jews didn't hang out with people that were non-Jews, but Jesus did. And men certainly didn't strike up conversations with single ladies. Jesus did. And man, he brought life to this woman. And he was always, always shattering people's expectations of what God would be like. I love this fact about God shown in Jesus. That do you realize that God had dirty hands? God had dirty hands. And we know from the Gospels that Jesus would touch people, literally, you know, not just figuratively. He would like touch people no matter how broken, how dirty, how diseased they were. Leprosy is a terrible disease that in most of the Western world has kind of been eradicated. We don't deal with a lot of leprosy in our part of the world, but do you know in other parts of the world, you could right now go to leper colonies. I've had the privilege of going to a couple of them over the years, visiting and ministering to people, but I'm telling you, it's not pretty. And back then, Jews were actually forbidden to touch people with leprosy. Do you think that stopped Jesus? No. See, Jesus shattered expectations because he was willing to get his hands dirty no matter how afflicted and how broken people were. Shattering expectations. I love another way that Jesus got his hands dirty, and maybe some of you would remember the story about this woman who'd been caught in sin. Crazy thing was that it says that she was caught right in the act of adultery. Somehow the guy got away, but man, this lady caught in sin. The religious leaders wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted him to accuse her and kind of break this image of like he was all loving and kind and good. They wanted to say, yeah, she deserves to die. So all these accusers bring this lady. But what does Jesus do? It says that he bent down and literally got his hands dirty. It says that he bent down and put his finger in the dirt and began to write in the dirt. Now, we don't know what he wrote, but it must have been pretty good. Because one by one, it says those accusers that had brought this woman all of a sudden started to step back and kind of disappear into the crowd. And pretty soon, all of them were gone. Jesus stands up and says, ma'am, where are your accusers? Well, they've all left. And he turns to her, and I think this is the most incredible thing. He says, neither do I accuse you. Neither do I accuse you. See, this God with dirty hands is willing to stand alongside dirty people like me. How about you? See, we don't have that expectation of what God would be like. We have this expectation, oh, God is holy. You know, God is so perfect. He could never be around someone like me. But see, we learn in the story of Jesus that he wants to shatter that expectation. We need to understand God has come for people just like you and me. Some of us are caught with the thought that my reality is that I know what I've done. I know how bad I've been. I know kind of the depths of the darkness that I've walked in and that I really, I don't have the expectation that God could ever forgive me. So many people carry around that expectation of God, but can I tell you, Jesus came and shattered all that by going to the cross. Shattered that expectation. In fact, I love the way the Apostle Paul summarized this for us. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:19. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and he said, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself." I love that word, reconcile. You know what that means, probably, reconcile, because there's been times when you've been at odds with someone. You know, maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and like, we're together, now we're not, right? And man, we're all crying, and we're trying to figure things out. And then, like, we reconcile. We come back together. Some of you have been in marriage relationships. Some of you right now, man, where there's like struggle and there's strife and there's all of this, but, and then God says, I want to bring reconciliation. I want to reconcile. That's what I'm all about, is reconciling people. You know what that feels like when we're broken apart? We reconcile. Maybe you've reconciled with a friend, and you know how good that feels. I love what it says, that that's what Christ came to do for all of humanity, to reconcile us, just a bunch of broken people, to reconcile us into real relationship with God. Healed relationship, restored relationship. But then listen to what he says, because it even gets better. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Boom. You want a little Easter joy this morning? Think about that for a minute. That God, you do not count my sin against me. You have made a way by going to the cross to reconcile us, and you don't hold my sin against me. See, our life experience and our fears have kind of taught us to say, this is reality, this is the way life works. But God says, no, because of my love for you, I have a new reality. I want to help you exchange that old broken set of expectations for beautiful new expectations about me. I want to finish with the words of the Apostle Paul. He wrote a letter to some of the very first followers of Jesus in a city called Ephesus. We can get on a plane right now and go to that city. And Paul wrote him a letter. And we've got that captured. And here, listen to what he says, starting in Ephesians chapter 1, a couple of verses 19 and 20. He says this. He says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. Think about those first words for a minute. He says, I pray that you will understand. Here's what he's really saying. I am praying that you will have a reality check. Because you guys, let me tell you, the way that you have viewed reality before now ain't God's reality. It ain't the way that he looks at the world. His reality is so much different and so much better and so much grander than ours. He said, I pray that you will come to a whole new level of understanding. He's saying, I pray that the expectations you used to have can get replaced by these beautiful, amazing expectations that God has for you. And then he goes on and says this, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. God's power available, not to those who are perfect, not to those who are all clean and got life all figured out. No, simply to those who believe in him. God's power is available to those who have just said, God, I put my trust in you. And then he says this. Here's the Easter message right here. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. This is incredible. That the same power that raised Jesus on that first Easter is available today for anyone who simply says, Jesus, I think I may have gotten some things wrong. Jesus, I think that my expectations about you may have just been a little bit off. I thought I could do life on my own. I thought that I could make everything work in my own strength. Just me and my friends, we could like hang together and like we could figure life out. But God, I think maybe my expectations were a little off. My reality was not your reality. God, I want to exchange all that and put my trust in you. And can I say, tell you, what the Apostle Paul says is that when you make that exchange, when you put your trust in Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to flood through your life, and any place where death has been, Jesus wants to bring life. Because you know what? Death shows up in a whole bunch of weird ways. We can experience death, not just spiritually. We can experience death in our bodies. We can experience death in our relationships, in our families. We can experience it in our workplaces. We can experience death in our city, in our community. But wherever there is death and darkness, Jesus says, I want to bring life. And it's available to you, to all who trust in me. Then, just a little bit further on in that same letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus, he says this, and I finish with this. He says this. He said, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us. What power is that? It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Infinitely more. See, that's the expectation that God is saying, I want you to have a new expectation of who I am and what I'm about. See, we may expect very little of God based on our life experience and our deepest fears. God is saying, I want you to exchange your expectations. I want you to remember the Easter story, that everything that is dead, my resurrection power has the availability in your life to flip that script, to switch it around, and to bring life where there has been death in ways that you can't even imagine. My hope is only for this much. God says, I want you to start to expect more. I only expect God to do this many miracles in my story. And God says, no, more than you could ask or think. I want to do more for you than you could even imagine. I'm not saying that life won't have its challenges. I mean, Jesus did go to the cross. I'm not saying that life is going to be easy, but I'm saying this, that even in your most challenging and darkest moments, God's resurrection power and life goes with you. You will no longer be alone trying to make it work on your own. Amen? God is saying this, I want to shatter your expectations in the most beautiful ways. Hey, there's a picture that I'd like you to go ahead and put up. 2 days ago, I mentioned that we got to host the city of Santa Maria for the community Good Friday service. And man, these are a number of the different pastors from our city that I have the honor of just being one of a number who got to bring a word of encouragement and reflection on the great sacrifice that Jesus made. So 2 days ago, that picture was taken right here on our platform. Some of these people I hope you recognize because these are incredible men and women of God who serve our city really, really well and probably right now are somewhere preaching their guts out saying, Jesus is alive. Some of them you may know, some you may not know, but I want to tell you a little bit about one of these guys, the guy that's just to the right of me there in the leather coat. His name is Ricardo Herrera. Pastor Ricardo leads the International Church, House of God. And Ricardo not only planted that church in our city, but God has given him opportunity over the years to actually plant multiple churches, not only in the United States, but in other parts of the world as well. Incredible, incredible guy, full of faith. And it's been an honor over these last couple of years for me to get to know Pastor Ricardo. One thing you may not know about Pastor Ricardo is a little over 20 years ago, he had a plan to murder our own Pastor Joel. He was going to kill him. I mean, I don't mean figuratively. I mean, he was going to kill him and already had the plan of how he was going to do it. See, because Joel's mom had been going to Ricardo's wife and had been going into her house and sharing the love of Jesus and talking with her about Jesus and about how Jesus wanted to transform and change things in her life and her story. And Ricardo was literally so filled with murderous rage and hate that he told Joel's mom, if you come back to my house one more time, I'm going to kill your son, Joel. And he knew how he was going to do it. Guess what? Joel's mom didn't stop coming. And Jesus didn't stop working in Ricardo's life. And over lunch one day, Pastor Ricardo told me the story of how he was asleep at night and he had this vision of Jesus, that Jesus literally came into his room. He thought he was awake. And Jesus tells him, you've got this wrong. I am real and I am here for you. Next morning, Ricardo wakes up a new man. I mean, he fully put his trust in Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you, this story fills me with so much hope because I'm promising you, the dead can come back to life. Amen? But that's not just the story of one man. That's the story of Santa Maria. And that's the story for some of us that are even here today. See, I don't know what expectations of God that you brought into this room. I don't know. You may have had expectations that God probably doesn't like you very much, that maybe because of some of the things you've done or some of the things that you've said, some of the ways that you've hurt others, that there's like no chance for you and God to like be in a relationship, so to speak. But God wants to say, no, that was your reality based on your life experience and your deepest fears. And he says, I want you to exchange your expectations for something new that I have for you. Because the expectations that you can have now are ones of life instead of death, ones of real relationship with me rather than a distance from me. He says, I don't want to just forgive you. He says, I want to be your friend. Whew. More than we could ask or think is what God wants to have for us this Easter morning.